Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, the only show that takes a look at the obstacles and opportunities open to small to mid-sized enterprises that manufacture here in America. Brought to you by All Metals and Forge Group, with your hosts, Tim Grady and Lou Wise.
Well, I want to welcome everyone to Internet Talk Radio as we kind of struggle through a minor technical difficulty here, but we'll get through the show nonetheless. We have two very exciting guests on today. Lots of information to share with you on the show. First is a recurring guest on the show. He's been on several times before. Mr. Brad Holcomb, who's chair of the Institute of Supply Management Manufacturing Business Survey Committee. Brad, how are you today?
I am just fine. Thank you very much. Back home in Dallas, Texas, after being away and some glorious weather here.
And where were you away to?
I spent about 5 or 6 weeks in the state of New York in various places and enjoyed the cooler weather and some fall foliage.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad that you got a chance to unwind a little bit. We also have Tony Nieves with us today. He is the chair of the Institute of Supply Management's Non-Manufacturing Business Survey Committee. Tony, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, we're glad to have both of you gentlemen on the show, and I'm going to kind of play a ping-pong host here in between these two very important reports that have come out over the last 7 days. First to you, Brad, I see the roll-up on the September manufacturing ISM report on business rolled up to still a very healthy 56.6. Why don't you give us kind of a quick intro to that report that you issued back on October 1st?
Yes, certainly, and I like the way that you positioned that. The PMI is at 56.6, and it is a very strong number, although it is down 2.4% from last month's high of 59. But let's all keep in mind that that 59 was the strongest number in 3.5 years. So well positioned to continue the momentum, and manufacturing still growing for 16 consecutive months.
And I'm also trying to figure out here, because I have a little problem hearing our guests here today. So, Tony, I'd like you to give us kind of your summary of your report, which seems very healthy at a 58.6.
Yes, the 58.6, which was released on Friday, reflects a 1-point drop from the 59.6 in August, which was a very high reading, the highest reading since the inception of this composite index for non-manufacturing. That composite index came out in January of 2008, so now we're looking at the 58.6, still 56 consecutive months of growth. And the non-manufacturing sector seems to...
All right. Let's see if we can work through some of these minor issues. Brad, sorry not to get back to you. I'd like to get, if you didn't cover it already, what some of your respondents are saying about this report, because it seems very, very strong.
Well, thanks, Tim. The comments from the panel... And again, I select about 10 comments that I try to make representative of the tone and the sense of our 350-strong panel. One from Miscellaneous Manufacturing I like very much. Overall, orders are the strongest point of the year. And another one from the food, beverage, and tobacco products, business seems to be picking up as fuel prices drop, more disposable income at the C-store level where many of our products are sold. A third one from fabricated metal products, which plays into construction as well as autos, warehouse and multifamily construction seems to be continuing strong. So those are pretty representative of the outlook that our panel has, which is, very, very much, feeling that the economy is strong and getting more stable, and that we've got, a good opportunity to have a great fourth quarter as well. And let me just continue while we do work out some bugs, some additional comments. One is interesting. There are a couple here that cite world political unrest as a concern, but also one from Transportation Equipment. World political unrest is creating additional defense requirements. So, in times like these, there is an upside from a business standpoint. A little bit ironic, I suppose, but nevertheless, that from the transportation equipment industry, and somewhat relatedly, in terms of government spending, from the computer and electronic products industry, the quote is, "Seeing an increase in sales due to government fiscal year end." So there seems to be more activity from the government sector, as cited by these two comments in the transportation equipment and computer and electronic products industries.
Tony, how does your report read for a kind of a summary of the report itself and then what respondents are saying?
Well, what we have our respondents indicating to us is that business seems to be leveling off just a bit, and there's a slight slowing in this great momentum that we've had in the past few months of strong growth. However, they continue to remain optimistic about the business conditions and the overall direction of the economy. When you look at comments from the respective industries, orders continue to be steady and forecasts are strong for the remainder of the year. There does not appear to be significant growth, but a steady, strong business level, and that came from professional, scientific, and technical services. One that I've been commenting on for the past several months, in the building industry, there continues to be a lot of remodeling and smaller additions with replacement facilities and new buildings lagging. Many companies would like to build new, but are still concerned about making the large investment at this time. There seems to be this overriding confidence issue that we've been contending with for the past few years in the non-manufacturing sector. One from wholesale trade is business remains steady but not robust. We're starting to see some pricing increases, and this is reflected by comments from our respondents, far-reaching and unprecedented commodity price increase for all animal proteins, produce, dairy, coffee, and cocoa. That came out of accommodation and food services. Another one is activity is high right now. It is the last month of the government's fiscal year, and all of the fiscal year 2014 appropriated funds are being spent on new and renewing requirements, and that came out of public administration. And we also have one that indicates positive sales growth for the quarter is encouraging. Continue to see pricing pressure in most sectors, which directly impacts profit, and that came out of retail trade. Here's one that's related directly to manufacturing, and it's increased manufacturing lead times are requiring additional inventory to be maintained for older aircraft interior parts and new aircraft systems parts, and that came out of transportation and warehousing. So overall, we're seeing good representation here.
Tony, I want to get back to this point about the kind of the holdup in capital spending that you're seeing. And then, Brad, I want to come to you with the same question. Does your report give any insight as to why that exists?
Well, I think that it varies by industry and company, because if you compare the capital reinvestment year over year, and from what we had as our semi-annual forecast to now, because the economy has been growing at a faster than anticipated pace, we're actually seeing a little bit more on the capital reinvestment than what was anticipated going back to, you know, last December and also this past May. So even though there is this confidence factor that was indicated in the construction side, we're not seeing that pullback as much. In fact, it's actually a little bit over a little bit more than it was, you know, year over year.
And Brad, on the manufacturing side, are you seeing in your respondents any kind of cautious mechanism in terms of investing? Are they holding back more than you expected in your semi-annual update, or is it really about on par with the update?
You know, like Tony commented, it's a little hard to tell, but there are some indications here that it's honestly a bit of a mixed bag. And when I look at new orders, which I've commented, you know, I think each time I've been on, new orders really drives this bus. And this particular month, we have 12 of our 18 industries reporting growth in new orders. And we have two that are reporting a decrease in new orders, and among those is machinery, which I can relate pretty directly to capital investment. Not exclusively, mm-hmm. but certainly very directly. On the other hand, so there seems to be a fall off in new orders, at least this month, in that category. On the other hand, if you look at the comments, in this machinery industry, one of our panelists indicates our search continues for good machinists and electrical engineers. And that's not the first time we've heard some skill sets very difficult to find. So to some degree, and we can't quite tell how much, the lack of skilled labor is a factor in holding down the production, at least. Doesn't really relate to new orders, but there are some mixed signals here.
Certainly, it's a kind of a recurring theme on our show that we're hearing that the labor shortages, and really it's a skilled labor shortage. It's not the inability to find people, but it's the inability to find people with the right skill sets is not only impacting what I think I see in your report, Brad, but it's going to impact the economy going forward each and every month until this gets resolved. And in speaking to various people around the industry and around government, it's not a quick fix. It could be 5 or even 10 years before we get a balance of manufacturing and get new people trained, plugged into the system. So it's going to be precarious, and I think that's what I'm seeing, and you're probably seeing as a small indicator in the roll up to 56.6 this month. Would you agree with that, Brad?
Yes, and you know, in a strange kind of way, I think that's good news. Anytime you have sort of tightness in the system, whether it's suppliers trying to catch up and deliver raw materials to our manufacturers, or a tightness in labor and these skill sets, somehow I think that always translates into good news and opportunity for, people that that can upgrade their skill sets and go back into the workforce perhaps at a higher level.
And I just want to remind our listeners that both of these reports are available at ism.ws. And if you're following along, we're just going to flow down through the reports. Tony, each month that Brad's been on the show, he's talked about new orders in his report. And we really haven't given you a chance to talk about new orders in your report. So go into some depth on that in terms of the industries and new orders and how that seems to be developing from the non-manufacturing base.
Sure. For the 62nd consecutive month, we've had growth in new orders, and the rate has come down since July. July, we were at 64.9, and it decreased to 63.8, and then to 61.0. But still, anything above the 50 baseline is exemplifying growth, and here at 61, that's still a very high rate of growth in new orders. And 12 out of the 18 representative industries have reported growth for the month of September, leading with the top ones being utilities, information, retail, trade, construction, healthcare, social assistance, wholesale, and therefore there's the rest that make out the 12 industries. So overall, we're seeing, again, 62nd consecutive month of growth, and this is both for new orders and business activity for the non-manufacturing sector.
And again, just a reminder to our listeners, the numbers that come out in these reports, the 56.6 and the 58.6, are really a roll-up number of that particular month. I know sometimes we hear the mainstream media talking about the PMI number went down or the non-manufacturing number went down. That's not exactly accurate. In fact, they're both above 50, which represents very strong growth in the economy, still a growing economy. Anything you'd like to add to that, Brad, so everyone has a good solid feel of it?
Oh, I'm very glad that you've pointed this out, because honestly, you know, a number of journalists and headlines that you see just don't portray the numbers quite correctly to our liking. I'd rather not focus on the percentage point change, initially at least. I'd like for everyone to focus on the index itself. And again, at 56.6, as Tony mentioned, anything above 50 is positive growth and expansion. At 56.6, it's very, very strong. And by the same token, you mentioned the indicators that fold into the PMI. The first one, of course, is new orders, which we're at 60, very strong number, but it's down 6.7 percentage points in terms of rate of growth from last month. But again, last month was a 10-year high, and we can't always expect things to keep going up, because at some point manufacturing would bump its head on the ceiling. So 60 is a great number for new orders. And production at 64.6, a tenth of a point above last month, again, very strong. And in the case of production, the goal of manufacturing is first and foremost level production in terms of the resources available, meaning labor and assets. So they're holding strong from last month, working off both new orders and also working into the backlog of orders, which is really there for that purpose, to help level out production. And the backlog is down 5.5 points, but that's why. That production had assets to be able to do that, and again, it's a tool.
Tony,
next down, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Brad, you weren't finished. Go ahead.
Yes, just ticking off the five indicators, we've covered new orders and production. Employment is 54.6, growing for the 15th consecutive month. I think a few days later that translated or supported a nice increase in labor from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Our next indicator that folds into the PMI is supplier deliveries. It's 52.2. Anytime you're above 50, it indicates slowing or slowness on the part of the supply chain, the suppliers delivering raw materials, and the fact that they're having a difficult time sort of keeping up. Again, we translate into good news, because, you know, that reflects real demand on the part of our manufacturers back to their suppliers. And then finally, inventories of raw material at 51.5, down just a half a point from last month, but in a well-planned area, 51.5. That, to me, indicates an anticipation of continuing strong new orders. And that rounds out the five metrics that equally weight into the PMI.
And we're going to take a quick commercial break here, Brad, and then I want to come back and talk to you for a moment about this. To me, it's kind of a mental anomaly where a tightness, for instance, in the supply chain translates to a good thing, and that has to do with supplier deliveries. And then I want to talk to Tony about his five metrics that go into his report. But let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back.
Manufacturing Talk Radio will be right back.
All Metals and Forge Group manufactures open die forgings in blocks, hubs, shafts, flanges, cylinders, gear blanks, and custom forge shapes, including seamless rolled rings in alloy, carbon, stainless and tool steels, aluminum, nickel alloys, copper and titanium for parts and assemblies in aerospace, oil and gas exploration, defense, machinery, transportation, shipbuilding, energy and power, pulp and paper, and many other industries. Visit steelforge.com or call 800-600-9290.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy three with triple points on airfare. Buy two with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
I have Brad Holcomb on, who is the chair of the Institute of Supply Management Manufacturing Business Survey Committee. And we also have Tony Nieves, who's the chair of the Institute of Supply Management Non-Manufacturing Business Survey Committee. And Brad, for our listeners, this tightness in supply from the suppliers to the manufacturers being a good thing. Demand has obviously picked up and the suppliers weren't quite ready for it. Is that what we're seeing?
Well, that's right. And, you know, manufacturing is really all about the supply chain from the customer back to manufacturing. And perhaps the end user is not manufacturing customer. So, you know, you start with the end user, and you may go back to retail, to manufacturing, then to their suppliers, and their suppliers, and their suppliers, and so on. Sometimes there's quite a deep supply chain. So the fact that suppliers of raw materials are slowing their response, or the response is slowing, I should say, and in this case, at a slower pace, but nevertheless above 50, that means they're having a bit of a hard time keeping up, and that's a good thing because they do have a window of order books to look at. They have to manage their inventories. They'll have to replenish their inventories in order to produce what is required by manufacturing. So they're busy. They're having a little bit of a hard time keeping up. And all that translates into a positive, which is why anything above 50 is good in terms of supplier deliveries.
And Tony, why don't we walk through the five indicators on your report? And by the way, we've had you on once before, and I really haven't had an opportunity to ask you if your report, like Brad's, is computed from five indicators, or if there's more than five or less than five. So go into that and explain that a bit.
Sure. The NMI, the composite, is based on four indexes: business activity, new orders, employment, and supplier deliveries. And they're each weighted equally at 25%. And this was determined through modeling over historical information in excess of 10 years, and we used economists, some folks from the academe, as well as practitioners, and we put this into an algorithm and mapped it against past GDP growth, and we found that this most closely mapped to GDP, having this equally weighted for these three particular indexes. So we see that the business activity had come in this month at 62.9. It was down 2.1 percentage points. As I mentioned earlier, that's a trend of 62 consecutive months of growth. The same amount of trend for new orders, which at 61 was down to 2.8. Employment is a very strong index for this space at 58.5, up 1.4 percentage points. As employment goes, that's how the non-manufacturing sector goes. It's a more labor-intensive sector, and many human resources that are involved in the services industries that comprise the non-manufacturing sector. And then supplier deliveries at 52, off ever so slightly, still slowing for the fourth consecutive month.
Okay, and Tony, do I understand correctly that your sector represents about 88% of GDP, somewhere in there?
It's definitely, it depends on who you ask, but it's between that 80 to, you know, 88, around there. It varies, but yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay, and how about inventories and prices and the other segments of your report? I know when we go through Brad's, those are non-measured in terms of the index, but they're very important to the overall report. I wonder if you would step our listeners through the non-manufacturing report and the next sections of it.
Sure. The inventories may not be as prevalent in non-manufacturing as they are in the manufacturing sector. However, they are affected the same way. As you see business volumes, new orders, everything go up, as activity goes up, you will see either inventories have to be built up the same way. Might be a different categorization of inventory as compared to some manufacturing, but it's still, it might be tangible goods. It could be anything that these non-manufacturing companies are measuring month over month. But there will be an inventory buildup. There will be inventory burn-off, depending on the situation. So it does have the same, as I mentioned earlier, same effect. Prices, supply and demand driven or commodity specific, depending on shortages, availability. What we see in the non-manufacturing sector, it's very fuel driven, petroleum based products, where there's volatility. Same thing with food commodities. And then you look at some of the other indexes. Backlog is affected very similar as you see in supplier deliveries. So the same rules of thumb apply as you interpret these indexes. It's just what is the application for that specific company in these respective industries that make up the non-manufacturing sector.
And for instance, backlog of orders in utilities. Can you give me some idea of what that means?
That's a great question. And it would be based on how that particular respondent was categorizing it for that specific company in the space of utilities. And it could be, as we see backlog, if it's a capacity issue, if the supply is not able to meet the demand, and if their providers or their output is backlogged, that's how you will see that measured. Same thing, utilities is a tough industry to kind of look at. For me, not having the experience as a practitioner in the utility space, but I can tell you in some other industries, you would see backlog say if it was something like management of companies and support services or professional scientific and technical services, did they have a backlog on engagements where they couldn't address the needs and requirements in a specific fashion, or it could be on the input coming in as well.
Okay. And Brad, can you walk us through those next five categories of your report in the manufacturing sector?
Yes, I'll do that. And I'd also like to take the audience through a quarter one, quarter two, quarter three view of how PMI looks and the trend that is set up for us going into the fourth quarter. So first on customer inventories, it's at 44.5, and anything below 50 indicates that those inventories are considered too low, and it's off 4.5 percentage points, or I should say down 4.5 percentage points from last month's 49. again indicating too low and faster than last month. What this means is that our panel believes that customers' inventories there's not enough inventory on the shelf, and so there would be a propensity for more new orders to take place in the coming months in order to refill shelves and as well as for sell through. Next is prices, 59.5, up 1.5 percentage points from last month, indicating prices are increasing. They've been increasing for 14 consecutive months. But at the same time, sort of looking over at our commodities up in price list, the list is not very long, and it contains things which consume a lot of energy to manufacture, such as the metals, which are in this case aluminum for the 8th consecutive month, aluminum products, plate steel, some plastics, and stainless steel, along with butter. So a fairly contained specific list of things up in price. My overall reading of this and sense is that raw materials prices are very much in check and consistent with our panel's estimate from the May semi-annual update, which was in the area of between 2 and 3% increase for the year. Backlog of orders I alluded to, referred to earlier, it's at 47, down 5.5 percentage points from last month, indicating contraction, and we can see that production utilized this this grab bag of a backlog in order to maintain level production in terms of its labor and assets on hand. And then finally, exports and imports. Exports is at 53.5, nicely above 50, but down from 55 last month. Imports is at 53, again nicely above 50. And yet down 3 percentage points from last month. But both together indicate that our global economy is continuing to work in our favor, that in terms of exports of finished goods, the world likes our products. And in terms of imports, we like the selection, pricing, and availability of certain raw materials from overseas. So that rounds out the last five metrics that we follow, which are adjuncts to the first five that fold directly into the PMI, and together, you know, represent a pretty meaningful set to keep our pulse, a handle on the pulse of manufacturing.
Now, Brad, before you do a quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, I just have a question on customer inventories, because you've been dealing with this for quite a while, and you also were in purchasing. This very low inventory level with the customers out there, is that unusual in September, just as we roll into the holiday season, when I would think they'd be beefing up inventories?
Yeah, just taking a quick scan, pick another September. Yeah, actually, it is a bit low. You know, I see some 49s in September, October timeframes in the last couple of years. So that's exactly what I was thinking and going to comment on. You hear some headlines even just today that retailers are anticipating a pretty strong holiday season. And, you know, you couple that type of sentiment with customer inventories being too low, to me that sets up a good dynamic for more orders to restock as well as to sell through.
Mm-hmm. And, Tony, how about the – and I'm going to come back to you, Brad, on your quarter one
okay.
through three. But, Tony, I want you to step through the rest of your report in terms of each of those categories and share with us if you're seeing unusually low inventories in the retail sector at a time when things should be beefing up.
That's a great great observation, that inventories at 52, just slightly, you know, showing growth month over month. And what we've seen over the past several months, and actually I should say the trend has been quite for some time, is in non-manufacturing, more demand pull, definitely just in time for the majority of this sector. And it's always been about cash flow. And so inventories have been managed very closely. Every single month, respondent comments reflected that they were really trying to keep inventories at a minimum. And so when we had this strong uptick in business activity and new orders, we saw this continue inventory burn off and playing it very close to the vest, and it started to become a little bit of a capacity issue. So I think that if we see non-manufacturing stay on this current path of this strong growth, that they're going to have to, you know, introduce some more inventory into the into their system, because it's just not going to hold. It can only go so far. And so it's been, again, not just to reemphasize that, further emphasize that non-manufacturing, going back to the recessionary period of time, it was all about burning off inventory, getting rid of obsolescence, managing cash flow, all of that. So it's all about cash liquidity. And, you know, that's been the case for since going back to 2007. And now, you know, we look at prices and backlog, and I touched briefly on prices earlier. There hasn't been a lot of pricing power in the non-manufacturing sector. It's still very competitive out there. It's all commodity supply and demand driven. You know, backlog I touched on also. It's becoming more of a capacity issue that we've seen the respective companies in these industries have done more with less as they've had gone through transformation process and reduction in workforce and everything else. And now we're seeing the employment go up because of it, because it's now becoming more of a capacity issue. And it was a wait-and-see attitude of let's see how things evolve. It's always progressing forward or moving forward cautiously, and so now it's as I keep saying, it's capacity. So now we'll start seeing those numbers, whether it be employment or inventory buildup. We'll have to see those increase going forward. If you look at exports and imports, exports was very strong growth this month, 5 percentage points up to 57.5 from the 52.5, surprising, and imports. Not much of a modest growth, 1.5 percentage points to the 52.5. We're starting to see a trend now in non-manufacturing, and it's also the case from what I've read about in manufacturing as well, of less offshoring and more bringing things back home inshore, not looking to outsource, and it's all about insource. So we're seeing that trend also develop for the non-manufacturing sector.
Tony, is the new exports being driven predominantly by what industries?
Well, that's a great question, because when you look at what actually gets outsourced for the non-manufacturing sector, you'll see leading the pack is management of companies and support services, which is consulting. We've said for quite some time that what we outsource or export, I shouldn't say outsource, but export and other people outsource abroad, is the knowledge management piece. And that's what mm-hmm. we, as our local economy, U.S. economy, I should say, brings to the table, is that knowledge management and management of companies and support services. And typically in the past, we've also seen information up toward the top, and that's not quite at the top, but still in the middle of the pack of the seven industries that are reporting an increase for new export orders. When we see the real estate rental and leasing, categorically breaking that down, you know, that's more of, you know, I'm not sure exactly what's comprised of all of that, and the retail is self-explanatory.
Okay, okay. Now, in terms of imports, that's just the non-manufacturing sector, and I always have to point this out to our listeners. The non-manufacturing sector, and maybe you can explain it a bit, Tony, includes things like agriculture, forestry, fishing, hunting. Kind of explain what they're importing that's driving the import number up.
And it could be anything. It could be the equipment they're using. It could be even the you know, the MRO type, the maintenance, repair, and operating supplies, or any equipment. It could be anything that they're utilizing in that industry that they have to import in order to run their operations.
Okay. Now, Brad, before we come back to you and your quarter one through three, I want to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in just a moment with Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Manufacturing Talk Radio will be right back.
American Crane and Equipment Corporation in Douglasville, Pennsylvania is a leader in specialized cranes, hoists, and material handling equipment for industries including aerospace, nuclear, oil and gas, transit, construction, and waste handling. Call 877-877-6778 or visit americancrane.com. That's americancrane.com or 877-877-6778.
All Metals and Forge Group is an ISO 9001 AS and EN 9100 manufacturer of open die forgings and seamless rolled rings in alloy, carbon, stainless and tool steels, aluminum, copper, titanium, and nickel alloys. Visit us at steelforge.com or call 800-600-9290.
It's no secret that manufacturers are having trouble filling jobs. Now, with ThomasNet's new job board, help is on the way. For manufacturers, ThomasNetJobs.com is the go-to resource to recruit new talent. Post your jobs and get in front of thousands of potential employees. Or, if you're looking for a new job or you want to reinvent yourself, ThomasNetJobs.com offers exciting opportunities from the shop floor to the C-suite in supply chain management, engineering, production, or sales. Remember, ThomasNetJobs.com.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
So, Brad, let me come back to you and your quarter one through quarter three. Would you share that with our listeners?
Yes. And the motivation is that, you know, it's very interesting to read these reports each month and compare one month to the next. In fact, to a large degree, that's the whole point, because we ask our panel on both reports for each metric, are things the same, better, or worse? And we'll have normal variations from month to month as I mentioned, we can't possibly see things continuously going up, or we would get overheated and so on. So there will be some pauses, some corrections, et cetera. Another way to look at this, in addition to month to month and overall, you know, annual trends, is to look at the quarters. And I did this this time just for my own curiosity. Q1. The average PMI was 52.7. Q2 came in at an average 55.2. And Q3 came in at an average of 57.6. So from that quarterly perspective, very nice gains and you know, very consistent from quarter to quarter in terms of the growth that one can impute from those numbers. Now, if we look specifically at Q2, that 55.2 in our lookup table for gross domestic product translated exactly into a 4.0 gross domestic product expectation, which is where the government landed in its final corrections. Our okay. Q3 number of 57.6 maps onto a 4.8% gross domestic product increase when annualized. So there's another perspective that I thought I'd share with our audience. What we try and do is you know, present the data. It is very much on both sides a data-driven process, as well as the specific quotes and comments, which give more of a forward-looking perspective in many cases. But then with this rich data, we invite our audience and users to do their own analysis and dig deeper. And along those lines, you referred to the ISM.WS website. I'm on it right now looking at Tony's non-manufacturing. And as he spoke to his various elements, I find it very easy to follow in the way that ISM has constructed these online. So it's a great resource for everyone to look generally and also deeply at the individual metrics and at your individual industries.
And I'm just curious, Brad, in talking with both you and Tony, where on Tony's side of the fence, customer inventories are too low, and you're reflecting that in your report as well. And this being October, when demand should be fairly high for bringing goods in. But manufacturing has got some issues with supplier shortfalls and deliveries and labor shortages. Are we going to see possibly a situation where manufacturing is simply not going to be able to keep up with demand?
No, I don't think that's going to be the case at all. What we found is that manufacturing is, you know, is very resourceful. It may have, you know, a slight problem 1 month, but they find ways to correct it in terms of, you know, hiring additional people or, you know, going into an overtime mode as necessary and, you know, doing the relationship phone calls with their suppliers to motivate them, if you get my drift. And
right.
so no, it's and the capacity is there for more growth, as we saw in our semi-annual report. So we're not quite full up, and that's good news as we approach the holiday season.
Tony, in terms of your report and also Brad's, because I know both you and Brad spoke at your conference out in Las Vegas this past May, are your reports a little bit of ahead of your update forecast that you really developed in April?
If you can ask me that again, if I understand you're saying,
sure,
that, is this the monthly report more of an update from the semi-annual forecast?
Yeah, I think it looks to me, from my neophyte perspective, that the economy is actually developing more strongly than even you might have anticipated back in April. Is that the case?
Yes, yes. Especially, you know, we were forecasting, or I should say our respondents were forecasting growth. However, the non-manufacturing sector has had really strong momentum for the past, you know, 4 or 5 months here, just continually growing at a very, very fast pace. You know, looking back to going back to April, where it came in at the 55.2 for the composite, and just continually going up until we hit the high of 59.6 in August, and the fall off that we had just in that rate of growth. And it was, I think, you with Brad and you touching on it earlier, as far as measuring that month over month growth. You know, this benchmark or the bar moves each month because it's measuring change month over month. And so we're really seeing strong growth in activity, even with the rate slightly slowing. And to answer directly your question, yes, it's better than what was anticipated going back to our semi-annual release in Las Vegas.
Well, that certainly is very good news for both manufacturing and non-manufacturing. And again, just to remind our listeners, as Tony said, you know, watching the trends month over month, really this every month is a roll up, and they compute their numbers and roll them up to a figure. And that's really not a drop off because we're above 50. Brad, your report is coming in very strong as well each month. Do you feel that manufacturing is ahead of where you thought it would be this fourth quarter, as we get into fourth quarter, when you looked at it in April?
You know, back in late April, early May, you know, we reported that manufacturing revenues are expected to increase 5.3% in 2014. And as I recall, Tony, non-manufacturing was lower. And so, you know, growth on your side beyond what was anticipated certainly makes sense. I believe that on the manufacturing side, we're every bit on track with that and perhaps a little bit ahead. But we did have an expectation for a solid year of 5.3% revenue increase. And my sense is that we're, again, very much on track and perhaps a little bit ahead of the game.
Now, Brad, in your report, there's another section called buying policy. Can you share with our listeners what that speaks to?
Yes, buying policy is broken down into three different areas. One is capital expenditures, and the next is production materials and MRO supplies. And these are the categories that our purchasing departments work on day in and day out. And what it really shows in terms of the tables of numbers and how it all sort of plays out is in the average commitment lead time for either capital, for production materials, or for maintenance, repair, and operating supplies. And in the case of capital expenditures, the average number of days is 120 days. You can think of that as really a lead time. And when the lead time is extending, that means that the capital expenditure suppliers are not able to manage your order in less time. In other words, there's tightness in that supply chain. So last month it went up one day from 119 days to 120 days, and again, very consistent with tightness in the supply chain. In terms of production materials, the average is 62 days, and that is unchanged from last month. And in terms of MRO supplies, which are generally, you know, more available, more suppliers supply parts and supplies in that category, it's down 3 days from last month to 26 days from 29 days. And we break this down in a fine amount of detail, as you can see in the reports. But the bottom line is it does show and give a feel for the average commitment time for these categories.
The hand-to-mouth category, really things I use in less than 30 days?
Yes, and things that, you can order one day and get very, very quickly. So there are things that are used all the time. The relevant suppliers generally have plenty of stock to meet that kind of demand. Yes.
And Tony, I want to go to your report on inventory sentiment. This is at the very end of your report, and I think it's important for listeners to understand, like in Brad's report where we're talking about buying policy, in your report, share with our listeners what this inventory sentiment is about.
Inventory sentiment, and this was something that was ISM was first approached by the Federal Reserve asking us to measure the inventory sentiment of our respondents. And what that means is how they actually feel about their levels of inventory. Not so much the growth month over month or contraction, but how do they feel their inventories pair up according to their levels of business. Is there enough inventory in the system? Is it too much? Is it on par with capacity? So what we've seen is for 208 consecutive months, our respondents have felt their inventories were higher than what was actually needed on hand to conduct business. And, you know, to keep in mind that the mindset of buyers and supply chain managers, they all want to be just in time. They want everything to, you know, almost zero out at the end of each month, going month over month.
Right.
So any inventory above or anything that's left over, they're going to say, it feels like it's too high. But in essence, we have seen this rate, as it was last month, go down to 55, which was the lowest in quite some time. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that in this space, definitely is more of a just-in-time mindset for the respondents in these respective industries and companies.
Okay, and Brad, as we near the end of our show, a couple of things. First, I want to thank you for, again, being a guest on the show and apologize for our little technical difficulties at the beginning.
My pleasure, always.
And I want to ask you if there's anything else in general about your report that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Well, let me just finish off my thought process on the quarterly view with Q1, Q2, Q3 progressively increasing, setting up a nice trend. You know, barring you know, anything unusual, which we don't anticipate, it sets us up nicely for a good, healthy Q4, which will be, you know, excellent for us all to appreciate. You know, looking back on January 1, I think we will have had a good year, as I said, barring any unforeseen circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's very encouraging, and certainly a year that we've all been kind of waiting for. I'm hoping that that kind of stimulates 2015, because we've all been waiting for a good year to get a little comfort level. Tony, again, I want to thank you for being our guest on the show, and you know, apologize for a little difficulty we had at the beginning, but we really appreciate you being on the show again.
Thanks very much for having me on the show.
And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we wrap up Manufacturing Talk Radio today about your particular report?
Just to emphasize that we've had really, really strong growth for the last 4 months, and that we're seeing this momentum just slow down ever so slightly, but not to be misinterpreted that we're not on the right track of this growth that we've seen, and that the from what our respondents are telling us, that business conditions in the economy are optimistic about it at this point in time.
And I just want to again reiterate for our listeners that both of these reports are available at www.ism.ws. In this, you know, both cases, again, look at the other reports, the historical reports that are also available there. If you would like to get a feel for trends, these are roll-ups for a 30-day period. Each 30-day period is unique, so it has its own variations. And as Brad has explained on many occasions, we're in very positive territory for both of these reports. The economy is very, very strong. And it looks to be that all of the predictions say that 2015 is going to be a strong year as well. So we're very encouraged by that. We will have Brad Holcomb on again next month to go over the report that they're starting to develop, get information on now. And if Tony can join us, depending on the day of the month, because his report comes out 3-4 days after. So we will have them back on in the very near future, and we look forward to the information that they have to share with us, because things are going well, and we want the industry to understand that things are going well. You know, jump in, the water's fine. And that takes us really to the end of Manufacturing Talk Radio for this week. We'll be on next Tuesday at 1 p.m.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.